Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
If they're playing this on Steak Station.
He down in Atlanta again?
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan KFNS. We're in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. And it is our pleasure to welcome to the program Joe Theismann. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I can't wait to get your perspective on what we witnessed last night. I'm
speechless.
Really?
It's hard for me to be. I know. But I was absolutely amazed at the things that occurred in that Super Bowl. So many different types of things that happened. The great catch by Julio Jones.
Yeah.
The unbelievable catch by Julian Edelman. The pounding that Tom took probably took more of a beating in that game, forgetting Super Bowls or playoffs or regular season games. That may be in the top two or three that he has actually been hit that many times in a game and just continued to fire away. I mean, threw 27 passes in the fourth quarter. That's like off the charts.
Yeah. 63 total. And to come back in the manner with which they did, down by 25 points. Were you at the game? I saw you. You were doing Fox and Friends, right? So you were there. So you were inside.
Yeah, I'm still in Houston.
Still in Houston. All right. So when it's 20.
Now here's the thing this game, what New England did. If you go back to the Buffalo Bills Houston Oilers game, when the Bills went to one of their Super Bowls, the Frank Reich game,
right.
I guess you could call it.
Yeah, against the Oilers.
When everything had to go absolutely exactly perfect for the Buffalo Bills to be able to come back against Warren Moon and the Houston Oilers. This was a similar situation in my mind where everything had to happen. They needed to score with a particular amount of time. You had the pressure of the two-point plays that need to be executed and accomplished. I mean, it was almost like it was a scary script that someone had written and said, Tom Brady is going to do this just to reaffirm. I always believed he was the greatest anyway, but he was just going to reaffirm the fact that he was and what his football team was able to do. I mean, when you throw the football that many times, and we saw the troubles they ran into earlier in the game by dropping the football. When you throw the ball that much, that's the risk you run of having guys drop the ball. And it just, you know, I'm still amazed this morning to just think of so many different instances in this game where things have happened. And one little statistic, since 2000, there have been 8 MVPs that have played in the Super Bowls, and every one of them has lost.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Since 2000, well, we know of one here in St. Louis.
Well, I know of one in Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it goes
not
back
that you're still bitter.
2000, but still.
Well, let me ask you on the Atlanta side of things. You know, reading in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this morning, you can imagine they're just absolutely despondent. But from a strategic standpoint, were you surprised by their approach in the second half? I mean, Devontae Freeman, to me, at halftime, I think would have been the most valuable player, and then he only carried the ball 5 times in the second half.
I agree with you. I think that especially attacking the edges of New England's defense, it just didn't look like through the entire game that they had the ability to be able to control him at all. You know, and then Coleman gets hurt, so it's going to be on Freeman all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that Atlanta's running backs would play a big part in this game. And you know, it's you sort of scratch your head just a little bit. It's like the Dallas Cowboy Green Bay Packer game. I think there were 11 instances in that game where it was third down and 3 or less, or maybe 8 instances where there were third down and less for the Dallas Cowboys. and Ezekiel Elliott carried the ball twice. Sometimes, you know, coaches don't pay attention to the statistics as far as, you know, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They just sort of feel the game. And I thought Kyle stayed aggressive, and I think that was the one thing that he did in this game was stay aggressive. You know, Matt taking the sack when he did, and then, of course, the holding penalty, taking him out of field goal range. Because if Atlanta kicks a field goal there, it's over. You know, woulda, coulda, shoulda is such a three right. amazing words, but the Pats are not going to come back from a 11-point deficit with that short a period of time. But again, it's almost like it was predestined. It was almost like a script that had to be fulfilled. And Tom Brady and the New England Patriots did it again. And how about the job the New England Patriots defense did in the second half? I mean, it was amazing listening to the players talk about the conversations that went on at halftime. Nobody panicked. Nobody yelled. Nobody screamed. They made their adjustments. They came out and executed them. And, you're talking about the greatest quarterback that ever played the game. And you know what? You could almost say the greatest player that ever played the game. And then you're talking about the greatest coach. This was Bill Belichick's 10th Super Bowl, 7 as a head coach of the New England Patriots. What these men have done and what Mr. Kraft has put together in New England is unprecedented in football, certainly.
And it's a league where they've done everything they can to create parity with the drafting and the salary caps and everything else. Let me ask
you this. You bring up an interesting point. Let me just take a second there.
Sure.
You're trying to create parity, but unless you have a quarterback, you can't win, and there are none coming out of college that fit into the molds of a Tom Brady. I mean, you look at the four guys that were in the NFC and AFC championship games. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to run around. He'd much rather work out of a pocket. Ben Roethlisberger isn't going to run around. He's a pocket quarterback. Tom Brady, the ultimate pocket quarterback, although he showed some great legs last night running with the ball. Matt Ryan, the ultimate pocket quarterback. If you're a general manager or a player personnel individual, and you look at those four football teams, and you go draft yourself like a Deshaun Watson or one of these guys that runs around, you have to question your ability to evaluate talent and what's successful in the National Football League.
And at least some of it is luck when they don't get Brady till the 6th round. Had they known who he was going to be, he's the first overall pick.
Dak Prescott, look at what the young man did down in Dallas. They got him in the 4th. Joe Montana was a 3rd-round pick. I think you're better off going in the later rounds. The expectations aren't as high. The pressure isn't as much. You get a chance to grow into the position a little bit in some instances. You know, Dak wound up getting a chance to play because Tony got hurt. Ben Roethlisberger, when he played as a rookie, the two guys ahead of him got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they stepped up to the task. So it's, you know, there isn't any set formula, but one is that you have to be able to throw the ball from the pocket.
If you're the Falcons, what are you telling yourselves this morning?
Well, first of all, what I took out of that game, and it's interesting, when I watched the game, I was pleasantly surprised to see how well their defense played. I think they got tired at the end of the game. I think the pass rush, you could see the guys were coming up the field and the tackles were rolling them off the cup and giving Tom a chance to step up. I just think they wore them out. The energy was there for most of the game, but they just ran out of gas. I think that the Atlanta defense is going to be something to contend with going forward. I believe that it'll be interesting to see the way the philosophy on offense changes with Kyle Shanahan now going to become the head coach in San Francisco. But you have the nucleus of a team that I think has the ability to be able to go right back and repeat and be in Minnesota next year, led by a defense that now people will recognize. And you look at, you know, everybody will look at the second half of that game and say, well, you know, the defense didn't hold up. That's a lot of snaps for guys. I mean, you don't realize it. When you're rushing up the field and you got guys leaning on you that are 300-plus pounds and you're continuing to try and make plays and you exert yourself and all of a sudden it's, you know, you're back at it again and back at it again. I think the Falcons, there's no consolation because I've worn both hats. I've been lucky enough to be able to wear the hat of a champion, and I've been unlucky enough to be able to put that hat on that says NFC champion and not a world champion. So I understand the emotions. It's so as much elation as is being felt by the New England Patriots and the fans and everybody in New England, the depth of despair is equal when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, and it's probably something that those players and coaches will never get over. I mean, they'll be kicking themselves over that when they're old men, don't you think?
Well, what you do is you sit and you question everything you do. There's always the what ifs. What if I did this? What if I did that? What if I made this call? What if I made that call? But you know what? The one thing about our business is it's a group of men that are very resilient. You know, Kyle's going to sit down and look at the game plan and say, well, maybe I should have done this, maybe I should have done that. But he can't. Now he's going to become a head coach out in San Francisco with a whole new operation. John Lynch is his GM. His dad, I think, is a consultant to the organization. You know, Kyle's going to be a head coach now, which is an entirely different role than being a coordinator. You don't have enough hours in a day to be able to coordinate, to be able to coach, be the head coach. And really, that term doesn't exist. You're really a head administrator because you don't really get a chance to coach much. You get a chance to oversee what's going on. But it's just, you're talking about two of the nicest men, Arthur Blank and Robert Kraft, two of the finest owners, the finest men, the way they treat their players, the way they interact with their players, the passion they have for the game. Mr. Kraft has been down that road a number of times before, and for Mr. Blank, it's his first chance to have been in this kind of an environment. I guarantee he's chomping at the bit to figure out a way to get back. But it's... the emotions of this game, they take weeks and months to be able to sort of get over. As a champion, you ride the wave. The one that lost is there's so many questions you ask yourself.
Well, Tom Brady is obviously riding the wave at 39. He's playing the best football of his career. Do you think there's a temptation based on legacy, even though he's playing at such a high level, that he might, even though people are saying it's not something he's even thinking about, do you think there's a temptation to make that the exclamation point on an outstanding career, one of the best ever?
No, when I send out tweets or you send out texts, you can hit the exclamation point more than once.
Three times is a good number.
That's your number.
Yeah,
well,
the thing was is reason I know he won't retire. I was with Tom last year at Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco, and I'm proud to say he's been a friend for a lot of years. And when I was in broadcasting, we used to warm up and sit down in discussions like you do with every quarterback. I love talking football with him and philosophy. He's a tireless person when it comes to preparation, which is evident in his play. But I said, I said jokingly, you're 38 years old. What are you going to play? A couple more years? He says, no, probably four or five. So I believe the way he takes care of himself, good Lord leaves him stay healthy. I believe that Tom Brady will probably play at least 2 to 3 more years. So he will play to somewhere in the neighborhood of 41 or 42. I believe that if everything stays, the way it will. And, Howie Long mentioned something in the pregame yesterday. It was just phenomenal. He's played with, 46 different wide receivers? 37 or 38 different running backs. I mean, the combination of people that he has played with versus the other men that have won. There's always been the debate, is Tom Brady the greatest? Is Joe Montana? There's Terry Bradshaw. There's John Elway. But if you look at some of those teams, like Terry and Joe in particular, there was a core of players that played on those Super Bowl teams. With Tom Brady, there's only one core player, him. To try and get your arms around the greatness of this individual is virtually impossible.
Yeah, he didn't have his best target in Gronkowski. He didn't even have the other superstar on the team wasn't there, and even that didn't matter.
Gronk. Yeah. It's like, but how about Mitchell stepping up? How about he falls down, gets up, makes a critical catch on that drive? The catch that Edelman made.
Yeah.
Edelman drops some balls, so all of a sudden you see the third and fourth quarter. Who's catching all the stuff? Danny Amendola. Amendola had been hurt most of the year. Martellus Bennett, has made some great catches. People lose sight of the fact that, remember the one ball that when Tom threw the ball, it got hit and it fluttered in the air? Mm-hmm. I think it was in the fourth quarter. It's fluttering in the air. And Martellus Bennett is the one that winds up catching it.
Yeah, yeah.
And picking up a first down. I mean, you go through play after play after play in this game, and you know, I just, as having had the good fortune to be able to do it, I'm absolutely amazed at what I witnessed yesterday. That was the greatest game I've ever seen. Mm, well. You can go all the way back to the Packers and talk about, you know, the greatest game. This is the greatest football game. And Joe Buck, you know, was so right. Joe Buck did a show here, and he said this will be the first game that will go to overtime.
Wow, really?
Yes, he did. Joe made that prediction before the game.
How about that?
That's prophetic.
Yeah.
That's, you just, you know, take a picture of Joe Buck, put it on a chain, go to Vegas, and good luck. And, you know, sit down in one of your poker games, son.
Yes, sir.
As flawless as Brady was in the fourth quarter, really for the first half and part of the third quarter, he kind of didn't have a lot. He threw some bad passes. How does it kick in for a quarterback at some point where you just go from...
You get in a rhythm. I think... Some of the drop balls affect you. Well, here's the other thing is, and this is, you know, we tend to talk about Tom doing this and Tom doing that. A lot of Tom's problems early on was the fact that Atlanta's defense gave him all kinds of fits. I mean, they gave that New England offensive line all kinds of fits. Dwight Freeney looked like he was, you know, 25 again. He got sacked 5 times in the football game. And, you know, when you sit down and you look at what Atlanta was able to do with just a 4-man rush and to be able to put pressure on Tom and hit him as many times as he did, that's a contributing factor to the problems. And then it's exacerbated by the fact that guys are dropping footballs. And, you know, he got away with some that in the middle of the football field that, you know, he's lucky he did get hit and the ball went into the ground or they'd probably have been picked off. And then, you know, you sort of fight your way through a struggle. This is the way games have been for me. If you're not playing well, you fight your way through something. And somebody either makes a great play or you get knocked a little silly, but something just all of a sudden clicks. And then you start throwing darts. And you just feel like now you start to get that feeling of invincibility, that I can put it exactly where I want. And then a guy makes another great play. Like I said, you can go through this game on the New England side and probably circle 6 instances that were just incredible. But the one you have to rate is the Edelman catch. That has to be, you know, that goes down with Mario Manningham and David Tyree. Yep. You know, those went against the New England Patriots, but these went for them.
Even if you respect Tom Brady and what the Patriots have done, I think you could watch that game in the third quarter and say they just don't have enough time to get it going. You know, you played at such a high level. Did you have any notion that the Patriots will be able to totally turn it around and come away with a win?
No, I didn't. I thought that time would run out on them. I thought that 28 points was going to be too much. And then when Gostkowski missed the extra point, I thought, now you're looking at 2 touchdowns and 2-point conversion. And percentages aren't that high. Aren't that high in making extra points anymore, and they're certainly not that high when it comes to 2-point conversion. And so I felt at that point that it was going to be a difficult road. But, you know, like I was texting a couple of my buddies, and they said, "Hey Joe, remember it's Tom Brady." And I went, "Yeah, you know what? I forgot for a moment. I'm sorry. You're right. It is Tom Brady." And by the way, I know all the St. Louis fans, just as a little sidebar, it's great that Kurt Warner got into the Hall of Fame.
Amen.
Certainly deserved to be there. You know, the career that he had from where he started to where he's now being enshrined and as one of the greatest that ever played the game is a testament to his fortitude and his desire to be something special.
And as I would imagine, you know better perhaps than we do, even Joe, with the fraternity of great NFL quarterbacks, also just one of the most genuinely good human beings you'll ever come across.
He's the salt of the earth.
Yeah,
is the best way to describe him. I think he's just a very special man, and now he has a special moment. And I loved his interview when he was being interviewed one of the times here. We talked about, you know, just being able to try and do things to help others and, you know, to recognize the fact that he realizes that it wasn't, you know, him as much as everybody that helped him get where he was. But, you know, to be with the Barnstormers, you know, from a Barnstormer to a Hall of Famer, I think that's a pretty neat road.
Yeah, pretty cool. Were you surprised that Terrell Owens didn't get in?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I really was surprised. And next year, Randy Moss becomes eligible. So that'll be an interesting ballot. I was disappointed that Joe Jacoby, our left tackle with the Redskins for the second year, did not get in. I was somewhat surprised that Paul Tagliabue did not go in. And I wasn't surprised that Jerry Jones went in. Jerry's done an awful lot. You know, Jerry, people talk about Jerry Jones as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys and the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, but if you look past what he has contributed to professional football, he was the first one to start putting advertising in a stadium, and look at where that's gone today. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with Jerry and talking about how he wound up acquiring the Dallas Cowboys, and the man has always been a man of vision. And now he's got a football team that's on the cusp of being able to compete for a Super Bowl opportunity again. So I wasn't surprised, but you know, T.O. not getting in with his statistics. I think he's second to Jerry when it comes to touchdowns. He's second to Jerry in a lot of areas. Jerry's the greatest receiver. Rice is the greatest that ever played the game, and I was somewhat surprised T.O. didn't get in. And I, you know, people will say, well, it's because of the way he was. You know, the Hall of Fame is not a Hall of Angels. Certainly. And you know, that was a bit of a surprise to me.
Lady Gaga's performance, your analysis. Well,
that's why I said this is the greatest Super Bowl ever. I mean, she appears and disappears. Appears and disappears. She had four costume changes. Four costume changes. You know, think about it. You know, just what she's able to do with no malfunctions. And you know, the greatest thing about that football game, I think one of the greatest things about that football team, there was no conversation of any way, shape, or form about politics in the world or in America. That was 100% football. It was from the halftime shows to the pregame shows to the interviews after to the football game. It was, I think, a great escape for the world. To be able to witness an athletic event that was all about the athletes and what they were able to do. And that to me was very refreshing too.
Yeah, I'm sure it was tempting for Lady Gaga. She was a big Hillary Clinton supporter, but to her credit, she played it
She's
straight.
She's a professional. Yeah, what an entertainer. What a voice. A voice like we've never heard. You know, Whitney Houston's voice was so distinctive. Madonna's voice, so distinctive. Beyonce, the voices are so distinctive. Lady Gaga's is distinctively different than any, and her ability to play different types of instruments. I mean, she's just a phenomenal woman. She really is. I mean, she's a phenomenal entertainer.
And pretty good catch there at the end. She could make somebody a decent possession receiver.
Yeah, and then she disappears again.
Yeah. I want to know where she went. They must have had like some...
Maybe Jim or Doug figured out where she went. I don't know.
No. I did see the cables coming from her back. She didn't really fly off the
top
of the
stadium. No, she has the power of flight. She has the power of flight.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Take all those kids that thought she disappeared. You just took away all their little fantasy by saying there were cables.
Way to go, Doug.
You do that every now and then.
I'm a reporter. I got to...
You know,
speak
you throw
truth.
Water on the parade. You're not a reporter.
Well, no.
Hey, man.
Clip that
off. Clip that off. Joe, it's always great to hear from you, especially the morning after a game like that, to get your perspective. So awesome. Thanks so much, as always, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, it's always great to catch up with you. Take care, guys.
See you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Theismann with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and he officially said what we all have been thinking for years. Doug is not a reporter.
No. I can't even argue with it. Although I did see the cables.
Iggy, how happy is that? Joe Theismann said Lady Gaga made that the greatest Super Bowl ever.
Well, Joe knows talent. That's what he does. And he just told it how it was. So,
you know,
I can't believe how many texts and messages I got after the performance. Just saying, she killed it. She's great. Oh, my God. What
who is
performance.
Who is texting? Give me an idea.
Well, I can
texting.
Read them for
was
you.
Was Lana Rhodes one of the people?
I did.
The cat you did?
I texted him because
the cat did.
You know, we talked about on the show, and she was wonderful.
Frank, my niece, my brother, Mike Castro, who is now in Chicago, 636, I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Jim Hayes, my brother-in-law, Sarah Estepare. Then I had like five or six messages on Facebook. And then there was somebody on Twitter that just had to try and she lip-synced everything. I mean, what the hell were you watching?
Just that one message got
she lip-synced. She lip-synced.
But you said on the fan page they were trolling you a little bit. You said that they were.
I didn't respond to anything on there.
He said that we're bringing up Hammerhead Sharks.
No, I did it on my page. Well, I always read the fan page. I love the fan page, but, you know, that's, you know, if you don't like her music, I get it. I mean, I don't like country music.
No, but I think they're just trying to make a joke. I don't know how you could look at that and say that wasn't a great performance, even if you don't like her music. I mean, it had everything.
Oh, I know they're joking.
She's flying around. I didn't see any wires, but she's flying around, and then she's going from set to set, and she delivered the songs beautifully.
No, I know they're just.
You could tell it was live.
Trying to get my goat up by saying worst halftime show ever, and I get that.
You know. Doug Carroll Channing performed in 1971. I would imagine. I wasn't around.
For, second.
I would imagine.
Probably saying Hello, Dolly. That was her big thing. That was her big thing.
Now, the L.A. Times wrote an article, and they tweeted out that said, Lady Gaga misses her Super Bowl moment to say something profound.
Now, is this a column, or is that the...
I assume it's an opinion piece, but a lot of people were waiting for her to make some sort of political statement. I felt like most people just, you know, we've heard plenty of political statements. They wanted her to perform, and she gave a great one. Were you disappointed that she didn't use the platform for something else?
No. Disappointed? No. I even said on my Facebook page that she will not say anything about Trump.
Oh, really? You didn't expect her to?
No. She knows when to do it. If it's on Twitter, if it's a march, or if it's a protest, she'll speak her mind. But she knew that wasn't the platform to do it, and she wasn't going to say anything. So, no, I knew. She's too professional. She wasn't going to use that platform with 100 million people and a lot of kids. That was just her wanting to make everybody happy and put on a good show. And that's all she did. And if you didn't see the CBS Morning interview with her, it's actually... They did it last November. I think they might have added something in there for Super Bowl. But she really just wants to sing and make people happy. And talking about her family, she started crying, which Joe Rod might have been able to do that too if he got the question in. And she said, if I lost everything today and I could just go sing in dive bars like I did on the dive bar tour, I'd be happy. Just so I can go sing and make people happy, that's all I want to do. And she believes that. She's not making that up. So, you know, when you say that you thought about... You know, Owen Hart, when she was coming down and somebody said, I wished it. You know, that's...
Who said
little,
that?
That's a little mean.
Somebody texted that to you?
No, that was on the fan page. Oh. That's a little mean. Mm. But, you know, I get it. If you don't like her music, I get it. No, not everybody does. But if you don't like her as a person, tell me why, because there's no reason not to like her as a person.
Well, Doug had a problem with the meat dress, but you've gotten past that.
I would like to
that.
Have seen the meat dress.
But you got past night. That because...
I'm not past it yet.
You
I'd
were
like
happy
to see
with
it.
The performance, though.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Great. Well, isn't she going to announce some tour now?
Yeah, I got an email this morning. She's playing St. Louis November 16th. Yeah, I thought you said that, though, didn't you?
I said it on the show Friday, and then on my Facebook page and Twitter, I found out last night that tomorrow she will announce St. Louis in November. I didn't know the
16th. Well, I got an email this morning from, like, Live Nation that she's playing Scott Trade, but you said that on November 16th.
Yeah, I broke it Friday for us. This show's nothing but
breaking
stories.
Can you get tickets, Iggy? Can you get in there?
Well, I'll get tickets.
Who will you
I'll
get
pay
tickets
for
from?
Them, but I'll go.
You think you'll get to meet her again?
Hopefully. Nice. I mean, I'll ask.
But... Will she remember you?
What if you and Katie Nolan and Lady Gaga can meet for a scotch on November 15th?
Maybe I'll just send an email to Katie and say, would you like to go to the show with me in St. Louis? Fly on in. And
wow.
That way I'll take care of talking to you, and you get to come backstage. If I go backstage, and we can just make a day of it.
And you just hang out with Gaga.
Yeah, she was good reading the tweets yesterday.
Joe, Katie as you would Nolan. Call them, MFFs.
Mm. Yeah. Male, female, female.
Correct.
As opposed to the more popular male,
That's
female.
That's not the more popular one.
So you will be sending out a tweet to Katie Nolan asking her to
be
your date at Lady Gaga.
No, I
St.
will not
Louis.
Do that.
When do the tickets go on sale? I mean, you better pounce on that immediately, right? Because those will sell out, probably.
No, I have a connection that'll put good seats away for me.
Oh.
I'll pay for them, but at least I'll have an option to good seats, so I'm all right.
Guys, remember when on Friday I said Iggy was a creepy stalker? Yeah, I'm doubling down on that. Thanks, Justin in Columbia.
What makes me a creepy stalker?
Butch Patrick's werewolf doll writes, good Lord, what a creep.
All right, again, why am I a creep?
The phone lines are open, Butch Patrick's werewolf doll and Justin in Columbia, 855 Cub Talk.
Just call in and say why you don't like Lady Gaga. Why am I
official call-in big man situation.
Call in, big man. I don't think there's anything to dislike about her at all. You can see where some people just have different tastes in music. You might not be a fan, but there's no reason to dislike the woman.
Well, I think, from my standpoint, personally, fortunately, it's a declining number versus where it was 10, 20 years ago. But there are some people who are not on board with gay, lesbian, trans, whatever the case might be. And that has certainly been a focal point of much of her music. So if you are of that persuasion, then you would not be on board with that. But you have to be aware of, you know, her career and also what some of those lyrics mean in order to be hip to it. So you'd have to be like hate listening or hate watching in order to know, you know. And like I said, I think that's a small number. I think people, I think over the last, she did the national anthem last year, is that right, Iggy, or was it 2 years ago?
Last year.
And she was so damn good at that. And then last night, I think there were a lot of people, I at my house last night, a couple of people were, you know, she's going to say political stuff. I didn't know. I mean, I never really, honestly, I never really get the point of that, but, you know, to each their own, they have the microphone. Nobody grabbed it from them and Kanye tailored them, you know, so if they want to say it, they can say it. Bruce Springsteen this weekend said he was embarrassed to be an American when he was performing in Australia, our new arch rival. So, it, you know, if people want to say it, they can say it. It pisses off some people. I personally, if I were in that position, wouldn't do it. I didn't know, man, if I had to bet if she was going to say something. I don't know on that. I don't know.
Good business move not to.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would have thought, if anything, I would have thought she would make a message of inclusion, but not necessarily like rip Trump or something like that.
I think she, her message was when she did the beginning. Yeah. When she did the beginning and she did the little speech after the two America songs she sang. We are, what did she sing? I don't
know. We are the world.
We are, no, she sang, not God Bless America, but the two things she did up there, and then she
proud to be an American, Lee Greenwood.
No,
so that was kind of, and then she did, you know, Born This Way, almost the entire song, which I didn't think she would do. I thought she would get 9 songs in there, and she played 6.
Were you happy with her set list?
Yeah, I nailed all of them, but I put, I said she would
do. Wait, because you're gonna get a little blowback on that. You nailed all of them, meaning you knew exactly what song.
No, I didn't. I guessed, but I guessed 11 songs. I thought she would do a large repertoire.
All right.
Now the songs she sang were in my 11, but I thought she would do a much wider range of her songs and only do them for like 45 seconds to a minute and a half, and she spent 3.5 to 4 minutes on Born This Way, and then almost the entire Bad Romance, which is cool. I love that song.
Were you surprised Just Dance made an appearance?
No, I had that in there. I was a little surprised. I take that back. I didn't have Telephone in there. I didn't think she would do Telephone.
Right,
because,
hold on.
Because
you had Telephone.
You're arguing with yourself a little bit because you just said you nailed it. And
I forgot she sang Telephone. I didn't think she would.
Wasn't that with Queen Bee?
Yeah, and I knew Beyonce wasn't going to be there, so I didn't think she would do it without her.
The Queen Bee's Preggers.
Is that the one, Mr. Telephone Man? There's something wrong with my...
Yes, it was. Ralph Tresvant.
No, you better get on the press conference and ask her to do the lyrics for you because you just forgot them.
But she did have cables on when she flew.
Tim, please ask Iggy if he would bang Lady Gaga. That's from Lexington Steel.
What kind of a question is that?
It's one that's asked a lot on this show in different circumstances.
Right.
Well, now, of course I would.
Is she bi?
She's been with women, yeah.
But she's still, the men have a possibility. You got a shot still. She's not married.
You're just
being
silly.
Scissor and trib as much as possible.
Well, that wasn't Lady Gaga.
All right, but would
that
you?
Wasn't her.
But everyone has their fantasies. Marky Post, whatever.
Right.
Is that your fantasy that one day you could woo her?
No,
I know it.
No.
I know it's not reality. We're just talking a fantasy.
No, I've said this before. You're just being silly now. I have no fantasies of one day dating Lady Gaga. That's just stupid.
But would she be your ideal woman if it if you had a magic wand?
No, she has too much energy for me. I just like to lay around and do nothing. And she's always on the go and never just lays around and just does nothing. She's always doing something. And I
love her.
I need a woman that just wants to do nothing.
It should be easy to find.
What are we doing for dinner? I'll make dinner, then we're just laying on the couch. That's
I lost 21 pounds by doing nothing.
Well, maybe Larry's my perfect mate.
Women wanted to be like him, and guys wanted to be with him.
Not really.
Women wanted to be like him, and guys wanted to be with him.
400 times we've played that.
This is why you're creepy. You've spent over an hour this past week analyzing an average pop star. That comes from Peter Dinklage's Third Leg.
Average pop star?
Well, Third Leg, how did I spend an hour? I spent 5 minutes on a post on Facebook, and that's pretty much it. I don't know where the other 55 minutes came from.
Hmm. You weren't thinking about her set list or anything?
I put the songs that I thought she would sing on Facebook.
All right.
Guys, would Iggy kill a man if Lady Gaga asked? That comes from Dan Caesar's spell check machine.
That was great.
I just don't know what's so creepy about admiring someone. It has nothing to do with having met her. I admired her before I met her because of what she stands for. And with something she did backstage when I met her with a friend of mine just is something I will always remember. And that's why I admire the hell out
of her. What'd she
do? Well, she did something for a complete stranger. She had never met the girl I took to the concert, and she had something to talk to her about with her daughter, and they went back in the corner and they cried together. She took a pen and paper. She said, give this to your daughter, and wrote a note to her daughter. She didn't have to do that. She didn't know this. And it changed her daughter's life. Uh-huh. That's what she does. That's why I admire her. It has nothing to do with creepy. It has to do with, it doesn't even have to do with her music. It has to do with what kind of a person she is.
So you won't stalk her when she comes to St. Louis? You won't try to find out the hotel? Or she won't stay at a hotel, right?
I mean, they all stay at the same hotel. Timber Fake will tell you that. No, I'll see if I can go back and say hi, and if I can, fine. If not, I'll go to the show and have a good time.
I'll be darned.
So if I admire someone, then I guess I'm creepy. That's fine.
Well, who else do you
look,
admire?
There's nobody creepier than me sometimes. I can be creepy, trust me.
How have you been creepy?
But
what have you done to be creepy?
I've done a lot of things that can be creepy, but admiring Lady Gaga is not one of them.
Well, that's a nice story, what she did for that woman.
Well, there's more to it than that, but I don't want to take the whole show talking, so I just...
Well, we got nothing else.
We have Tyoka Jackson. We were just joined by Joe Theismann.
We didn't get into the part where he could be your biological father. I guess that's just assumed.
Yeah, it's been covered now, and you know, just people assumed. Just kind of understand.
Good morning, gentlemen. Doug, Jim, Timmy, how are you?
See?
Well, we're fine, thanks.
How are you?
Absolutely fine, thank you.
Doug, here were the five biggest Super Bowl comebacks before last night. Can you think of them?
Give my initials.
No, I can't think of them. You want a list? I can't.
Didn't they
give
say
you
that
list.
Nobody had ever come back for more than 10?
Yeah.
So.
10.
The Giants overcame an 8-point deficit to beat the Patriots 21-17. This was their second victory over the Patriots, the Super Bowl from 2012. Super Bowl 46 to you and me, Russ, Audrey. Super Bowl 25, Giants overcame a 9-point deficit to beat the Bills. That's the Scott Norwood game. Number three, Redskins overcame a 10-point deficit. They beat the Broncos 42-10. So Elway led the Broncos out to a 10-0 lead after the first quarter, and then were outscored 42-0 the rest of the way. That was Super Bowl 22. Super Bowl, let's see, what is it, 44. The Saints overcame a 10-point deficit to beat Peyton Manning and the Colts. And the Patriots overcame a 10-point deficit to beat the Sea Pigeons in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, Super Bowl 49. That's it. The biggest deficit was 10 points.
I remember when they played the first one and they came up with the name. They're going to call it not the NFL, AFL championship game. They're going to call it the Super Bowl. And we all thought, that's the stupidest name I've ever heard.
And now you're not even allowed
really?
To say it.
Super Bowl?
Now you're not even allowed to say it, Jack.
Yeah. That is the stupidest thing.
Darren Revelle named his top five commercials. Did any commercials stand out to you? Honestly, since I had people over at my house, I really didn't pay attention to commercials that much.
I didn't know what it was for, but the comedic actress, I forget her name.
Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah.
That was the one that rated the highest on the ad rate meter on USA Today.
Everything she was protesting backfired on her, and she ended up getting gored or something by a buffalo.
Yeah.
I like that.
I
thought they were boring this year. I told you that. Until the second half, a few good ones, but I thought the Mr. Clean commercial, where the lady was fantasizing about Mr. Clean, and then it ended up being some fat guy, and then she still banged him.
Is that how that went? That's how it went. I didn't notice that one.
And then I thought the T-Mobile commercials were pretty cute.
There was one that was a little too serious. I know they trot those out as a wake-up call to underscore the importance of whatever the safety precaution is. I forget what it's for, but boy, that's not really what you wanted to see during the Super Bowl. What was that one for?
Hiding the prescription drugs.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. He talked about guns. We locked up the guns, but didn't lock up the drugs. Yeah.
I thought the Anheuser-Busch one was good. I'm sure they had to make that months and months ago, and it came out looking like a protest of the anti-immigration measures of Donald Trump. I'm not sure that was their original intent, but the timing of it all kind of made it look like that. But I thought the commercial was really good.
Yeah, I like the commercial as well. That one I did see because I knew that it was coming, so I was able to pay attention and watch it. For the record, Darren Revelle gave that the highest marks. Skittles Romance was number 5.
Missed that one.
Honda Chasing Dreams, number 4. Buick, if that's a Buick, involving Cammy Cammy New New. And
that was pretty good.
Number 2, tied Stain with Terry Bradshaw and Hank Kingsley making a return. It's good to see Jeffrey Tambor back. And then number 1 was the Budweiser, Born the Hard Way.
And they paid $5 million for 30 seconds of airtime? That's about what it was.
That's essentially what our ad rates are.
Yeah.
More exposure on this show, though.
I agree. I feel like if I said
per money spent,
we're bang for the buck. That's for sure. Thank
you. What was so he had the stain, so he goes through and he goes to his buddies. The buddy washes it, and he said it's not the stain on the chest; it's what's inside. And he goes, "What does that mean?" And Tambor said, "I don't know." It's pretty good.
And then he had a follow up at the end where, what's the host's name?
Larry Phil Sanders. Donahue.
Phil Donahue. The host of the pregame show, postgame show.
Craig Menefee.
Craig Paquette.
Craig Kilborn. Kilby.
Menefee.
Craig, what the hell's his name?
I can't. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, he got a stain,
Craig,
some coffee.
Craig Gumbel.
He got a stain and dropped some coffee.
Kurt Menefee.
And then there's a flashback to Jeffrey Tambor.
Kurt
Menefee.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Tambor flashback. He goes, no, you do it yourself this time. Or something to that effect. Don't come here.
Now, one of the things I look forward to on Sunsbins, I don't know about you guys, is watching the Sunday morning news programs. And the one I've really enjoyed recently is Chris Wallace on, was it Fox News Sunday? Is that what it's called?
I believe that's right.
And I don't know what happened. I guess maybe it was just sold because Fox had the Super Bowl, so KTVI, understandably, wanted to maximize revenue potential, so they preempted it, I think, for their own Super Bowl show. But this wasn't like Charlie and Martin, our new cohorts here, doing the 12 to 3 show. Doug, that debuts 2 weeks from today.
In 2 weeks it does.
That's the plan, yes.
All right, a fortnight.
But they performed like songs, and it was, what's the word you use? The cat, and Artie used it on Larry Sanders. It's a delight.
Delight.
Yeah. Here's
others use it too.
Tim Azell and Virginia Kerr, who Doug and I worked with at KMOV, performing Lady Gaga with their own halftime song. Take a listen. I think this is wonderful.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Hello, hello, Tim. You called. I cannot hear a thing. I got no service in Fox 2, you say. What did you say? You're breaking up on me. Sorry, I can't hear you. I'm kind of busy. Sorry, I can't hear you. I'm kind of busy.
Just a second, it's my live shot they're about to take. And I can't text you now with a mic in my hand. You should have made some plans with me.
What
you
is
knew
this?
I was live at 5.
Just let it settle in.
Now you keep on calling me. I'm kind of busy.
Stop calling. I don't want to think anymore. I left my mic and earpiece in the newsroom.
Just deuce?
It doesn't matter if you love Fox or capital F-O-X. No, not an M, an X. Put your phone finger on it. Cause it's the Super Bowl, baby! Yeah!
Are you okay? I'm gonna need an explanation at some point.
My mama always told me when I was young to cheer for the home team.
First thing wasn't enough.
She cooked a chili, put her Rams gear on, and a Fisher lip sweater.
There's nothing wrong with loving another team, she said, because now the Rams are gone.
All right, so
no!
We're still hearing this? Doug, are you on board with still hearing this?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just for the Fisher stash, this is a Super Bowl bash. Just pick your team, baby, you don't need LA. Don't hide your
love and regret. Just pick a team and you're set. You're on the right track. Baby, you don't need LA.
Don't be a drag, just pick a team.
Don't be a drag, just pick a team.
Don't be a drag, just pick a team.
Don't be a drag,
just pick a team.
Just pick a team. Just a
thank you.
Thank you, Plowhawk.
Now, can you explain what I just listened to?
Now, Doug, I noticed you were closing your eyes.
Well, because it was so good. I just wanted to sit back and enjoy and hope that it would never end.
Okay, what was it?
That was, now, like I said, I look forward to Chris Wallace on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think more so than any other of my Sunday morning news programs. And so I flip over to watch, and damn it if that's not what I saw.
Chris, that was Chris Wallace.
Are that was his time slot. That was not him.
No.
He's a legit journo.
Sure he is. Yeah.
So what were you watching then?
Seamaster tells me if I wanted to see it, Chris Wallace was moved to midnight last night. So maybe that's on my DVR.
I saw him yesterday. He was interviewing Mike Pence.
You saw him on Channel 2 at 9 o'clock, normal time?
No, I saw Chris Wallace on the Fox. The Fox Channel interviewing
Mike
Pence.
I hear whistles. What are we doing? All right.
So that was Tim Izzell and Virginia Kerr.
And he was wearing a hamburger helper suit.
Of course he was. Mm. You didn't need to say that. We all know he, of course, was wearing a hamburger helper suit.
Okay, so this was like a bit for a Super Bowl preview show?
Yes.
Okay. I think it was just a delightful little bit of entertainment is all it was.
I didn't know what it was.
And it was You Don't Need L.A. And it was a take on Lady Gaga's Born This Way.
All right.
But the first thing we heard was a take on Lady Gaga and Beyonce's Telephone. Am I correct, Iggy? Is that how you heard it, Lady Gaga historian?
Yeah, it took a while to make it out, but
now,
that was a shot right there.
Not Iggy. Only did Virginia Kerr and Tim Izzell perform, friend of the show, fan show host, and the gentleman for whom I interned in 1997, Rich Gould, also performed a Super Bowl song on the same. Oh, again, I wanted to watch Chris Wallace, but this.
He got this instead.
He was playing the guitar in the background of those two songs, too. So.
Hit the lever, please.
Here comes the Super Bowl. It gets into your very soul. The Falcons and the Pats will roll in the 51st Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is a festival of fun. Charlie Marlowe bets his money, but he's never, ever won.
All right.
So here's something you should know if you're going to watch the game. If something evil happens, Stan Kroenke is to blame. Kroenke moved the Rams to L.A., kicked families out of Texas. Do you know what that makes him? Yep, a real horse's asses. St. Louis has no team. Fox 2 won't let it go. So they sent Martin Kilcoyne to San Diego. They don't have one either. So here comes the Super Bowl. It gets into your very soul. Kickoff's in 8 hours or so. So get down to your watering hole. The gout has moved into my toes. Zach ate all my Cheerios. I wrote this song in 10 minutes so it blows. But have a happy, happy, happy Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Really good.
Rich Gould.
My Doug, hero.
Rich Gould to me is the Frank Sinatra of St. Louis.
He's my hero. Yeah.
He's the best.
He can flat out warble.
He writes songs. He performs songs. Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
Songs.
And
he was even strumming the guitar.
He was strumming the guitar. He was also in the background during the Tim Izzell, Virginia Kerr performance.
He was.
Guitar. He was. Yep.
These people went to journalism school.
Yeah, didn't you have a class at Missouri where they taught you to perform songs?
No. We got Gary Finkel waiting, and I want to talk some Mizzou. Who...
No. No, I'm not a musician.
David,
performer.
How about a little Popeye's chicken? That good for your golf swing?
Oh, no, Popeye's is kind of spicy. You ever had that Popeye's fried chicken? It's kind of spicy.
It's good for your golf game, though.
Well, I don't know that it is.
Hideki Matsuyama enjoyed some Popeyes before going out and defending the waste management. Yesterday.
Yeah, he won. And I saw the Deke Doden banner that was being
waved
out there.
Yes, it was. How
there.
Does that make you feel? Isn't that wonderful?
It's disappointing is what it is.
The was most, it on the air?
Yeah,
was
the
it?
Most storied hole on the PGA Tour, we have a presence. And I'm not talking about Ray's Creek.
No,
we're talking about the 16 cabin. In Scottsdale.
No, wait. Did it make it to the broadcast? That I saw they tweeted out the sign.
I don't know that it made it to the broadcast.
No, it made it broadcast. I don't know.
But there was a sign there.
Because I know I heard someone say free Dotem during a key moment.
That was during the Ryder Cup. Not as big of an event.
I don't know if we have that handy, but this tells me that this movement has really, really sprouted all over the country, and it's grassroots.
It's part Nicholson of Nicholson trying to light up the crowd again. Birdie to win the hole.
That's so great.
It's hard there at the 16th to even get that out because they're screaming before the person's even teed off. So
It's all part of the vitalization of America, and I won't stand for it.
You're well, right, fortunately, the email of the day is coming your way, so you'll be able to enjoy that.
Part of the revitalization is what you meant.
By the way, the Super Bowl halftime show outrated the game itself. So,
Got a 50.
Yeah.
Greatest game ever was outrated by Lady Gaga. Iggy, I feel like you've been vindicated.
Well, I think it just showed that a lot of people watched.
I look forward to you and Katie Nolan taking in the show with Lady Gaga when she comes to St. Louis, sir.
Maybe I'll take Doug, and then you can ask about the meat dress.
I would love to do that.
You would go to the concert with Iggy?
Sure.
Oh, sweet action. Send your emails in. Hot Shots email of the day. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. A Lemmings lunch is on the line. We will take a break. Tyoka Jackson's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Always enjoy hearing from him. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan KFS.